All right, lots of moms, lots of babies, yummy food, giveaways. You all ought to come to MOPS every month. Seriously, good stuff. I'm excited to be here. I have not been back, well, we left 8 years ago. And I've been back a couple of times for concerts, see people. I was back for a funeral. This is more fun than that. But seriously, glad to be back, glad to see you all. I loved our years at Emmanuel so much so that one of the things I'm going to talk to you about tonight is how much I cried when we left, and it's part of my prayer life, and how that kicked into high gear when we were leaving. You have a handout with you at your table. I'm going to tell you right now, I do handouts whenever I speak because I like handouts, but if you don't even look at the handout at all, I'm not offended. It's just there if you want it, okay? Sometimes you feel like you're back in school and you have to do that. You don't. I don't care. All right, let's begin with prayer since the topic's on prayer. If you would pray with me, please. Father God, it is a delight and a privilege to be able to come before you tonight to talk to you. It is a privilege just to be here with these ladies and to hear the noises from little ones around us. What a gift. What a gift it is to have children. What a gift it is to spend time with other moms who have children, to share experiences, to learn from one another, to spend time in your word tonight and learn from you. And I pray that we're able to do that tonight and just put away the cares of this day, and that perhaps there'd be one or two nuggets of truth that we can take home and apply in our lives in the coming weeks. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of Jesus Christ when it comes to praying. Father, thank you for all the things that you've taught me, and I pray you continue to teach me much about you and about how to be a better prayer. In your name I pray, amen. I thought before we started tonight, we ought to actually discuss what is prayer. Yay, we're working. Just so that we're all on the same page, if I were to ask you, what is prayer, what would you say? Talking to God. Anything else you want to add to that? What? Oh, thought I heard something.
Talking with God.
Talking with God, talking to God, talking with God.
Requests.
Giving God your requests.
Praising.
Praising Him. That's part of prayer too. Anything else?
Crying out.
Crying out. We've all done that, or should have.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
Submitting.
Submitting, the posture of prayer. Yeah, these are all great. I want to start by, and I just thought of that, this actually on the way here, because it's not part of the notes, but I thought, you know, we really ought to start with talking about what a privilege prayer is. I didn't even have that in the notes, but literally while I'm driving here, I'm thinking, you know, God, the fact that we get to talk to you is just such an awesome privilege. Do you know, in the Old Testament, the Jewish people who loved God and believed in God had to take their request to a high priest who then would be able to speak to God. The fact that a holy God, the creator of the universe, wants us and gives us the ability to come to him personally, mind-blowing. What an awesome thing that we get to do. And it's because of Jesus Christ, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that part. Ladies, if you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, you know, the Bible is very clear that that is the way to get to heaven. You got to start there. It's not only the way to see God upon death, it's the way to talk to God here in life. It's because you have that mediator between God and man, right? Jesus Christ. So start there. That's a beautiful thing, thinking about the fact that prayer is a privilege, and a lot of times Christians take it as their right. You know, it's just what we get. It's part of the gig, right? We become a Christian, we get to talk to God. No, it's a privilege. It's an awesome privilege. Martha Stewart used to say something about, oh, this is pre-incarceration Martha Stewart. She used to say something, you know, she'd enter, I used to watch her, and she'd enter, oh, it's a good thing. No, this right here, prayer, it's the best thing. It's awesome thing. So much better than Martha Stewart and her good things. The first point I want to make about prayer, though, it's a conversation. Some of you mentioned that. It's a conversation. It's a two-way. We often think we're talking to God, we're bringing requests to Him, we're praising Him, but prayer is really two-way. It's a conversation. I have God's word, and it's often with me when I'm praying. It's a part of my praying. I've spent time in God's word, and then I pause to pray, often about the very things that I've been looking at and hearing from Him. And getting to know Him is all part of that, part of the conversation, a two-way connecting, speaking and listening. And you know, I put here on your paper, not just listening, but listening for understanding. Have you ever been to a marriage conference where they said that you needed to do that with your spouse? Don't just listen. Listen to understand. And that's what we need to do with our Heavenly Father. We listen to Him to understand, to get to know His heart. So we speak to Him and we listen, growing in our knowledge of who God is. But prayer is also communion. You know, it's a word that we use, and we think, oh, bread, grape juice, wine. You know, we think of those moments as communion. The word communion really just means sharing with another person on a deeper level. That's prayer. You know, it's the time that we get to deepen our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So we are in conversation and we're in communion. We're getting to know who He is and we're deepening that relationship with Him. It's a wonderful thing. I have, like I said, spent time often with God's word when I'm praying. And if I don't have a copy of God's word with me, it's often scripture that I'm thinking about and I'm alluding to. People have said to me many times, how do you know when God's speaking to you? That's a good question. You know, if you go to John 10, what did Jesus say? He said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That's the key right there. How do I know that God's speaking to me? I've had to learn to listen to the voice of my shepherd. I was talking to somebody not too long ago about this passage, and while I was doing some research on it, I was just Googling and came up with this experiment, if you will, that they did. Maybe some of you have seen it, that a shepherd did with some novice, non-shepherd people, and he taught them how to call his sheep. And it was some, have you seen it? It's some weird, and I'm gonna mess it up now that you've seen it, so don't go back and look at it again. But it was some weird thing. He taught them to go up to the fence where all the sheep were in the pasture and say what he says. And it's something weird like, da, 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 like that. They all take time learning what it sounds like. They all walk up to the fence and they stand there and they go, da, 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 you know, and they laugh because the sheep are, I mean, they're not even an ear twitch. They just go about eating. And then the shepherd comes up to the fence and he makes the same noise. Da, 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 da. And one sheep stops and looks, and a couple more sheep stop and look. He does it again. He does it three times. On the third time, they were all running at a dead run toward him. And everybody just went, oh. Now, how did they know to come running to him? Because they spent time with him and they knew the voice of their shepherd. They recognized who was calling. And they weren't caught off guard by the other people that were standing there. I mean, not even a glance. They didn't even stop their munching. They weren't distracted or led astray by somebody else. They knew when it was the shepherd and when to follow. How do I know when I'm hearing the shepherd's voice? Because I spend time with the shepherd. That's how I know when it's God speaking to me or not. That's an important part, because I believe that when we talk about praying, it has to be very much the listening part of it too. It's a two-way. And I want to give you my definition, and it's just a working definition for prayer. And it's this. Prayer is our speaking from our hearts to our Heavenly Father. And in return, God speaking to us through His word, and guiding us by the leading of the Holy Spirit. God is speaking to us through His word and guiding us by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, I grew up Conservative Baptist prior to coming here. You know, we don't do anything in the spirit because that's scary. I'm just saying that was my growing up experience, because you don't want to, you know, that prayer language and that, you know, whatever. We just didn't, we stayed in our box because it was comfortable and we were afraid to step outside of it. One day I was reading through Acts and it dawned on me. The same Holy Spirit that led those first church Christians is the same Holy Spirit that you and I have when we believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed. We have. So what am I so fearful of? I have the Holy Spirit within me. I'm spending time in God's Word getting to know who He is so I can hear His voice clearly, so I'm not straying left or right to what is truth. So when I'm praying and I hear what I think might be, and I've actually tested this, you know, Lord, is that really from you? I've paused. It feels like it very much is from you. Well, let me just pray a little bit more. I don't think it's anything scary anymore to spend time then listening. Am I hearing the voice of the Spirit that lives within me? Because I think He does talk to us and guide us and lead us for sure. And I've learned to trust it the more I've spent time getting to know the voice of my shepherd, the more I've spent time in prayer. It's just one of those fascinating things. And I think people look at prayer and they say it's this big mystical, magical thing. We pray and oh, heaven shakes loose. No, it's nothing like that. It's a true experience. You think about the relationships that you guys have with your spouse or with a good friend or with, you know, a parent. Those relationships, you have two-way conversations. You spend time on a deeper level where you're communing with them and getting to know them. What is any different with this relationship that we have with God the Father, except it's a holy God? But I mean, it is a relationship. And the more time I spend with God, the more I get to know who He is, what He's like, and I can trust His Spirit when He's speaking to me. It's just one of those things that happens over time. Years ago, I was probably in your stage where I started to think about the importance of being in God's Word and the importance of spending a true prayer time, a dedicated prayer time each day. And I want to tell you, it was not one of those things where I woke up at 5:30 and thought, yes, this is so fantastic. I get to spend time with God. I was checking a box. It was duty. And, you know, I knew I needed to do it. I didn't have a problem with doing it because I knew it was what I was supposed to do, but it wasn't easy by any means. And I'm going to tell you again, it's not magical, but I have no idea when it changed from a duty to a delight, but it did. I just was faithful and I did it. And at one point I went, wow, I really like this. It's a delight. And you know, it even changed further to now where it's a desire. So duty, delight, desire. Now, you know, if I miss it, I miss it. It's become a desire of mine to get up and spend time with God. And if I don't, and there are days I don't, I feel like something's really missing. So I can't even tell you why or how or when that changed. I'm going to tell you, if you choose to spend time in God's Word and you choose to talk to Him, converse and commune with Him daily, there'll be some time in your life where you just, wow, you start to trust the Spirit within. You start to feel like you really recognize the voice of your shepherd. And there's something that changes from duty to delight. Somehow, it's again, not magic. It's just practice. Okay? So it's a wonderful thing. But then my question is to you, why is it so hard then? And I crossed that out because I don't think it is hard. Really, what I think it is, why don't we pray as we should, right? Praying is not difficult. It's finding the time. It's the doing it and getting to it that is a challenge for most of us. And I thought through some reasons, and maybe some of these are yours, and maybe there's some others that I didn't think through, but let's just go through a few of them. We feel our prayers are ineffective. Yeah, I've prayed. And here's the thing, God's God, He's gonna do what He's gonna do anyway, right? So why bother? Have you heard that from other people? Have you felt that? I have. I've been disappointed by prayers. We were just talking about that at dinner tonight. You know, there are times where I have prayed for things and God did not choose to see fit to do things the way I wanted. I've been disappointed because I was praying good godly prayers that certain things would happen. Wouldn't he want to see that change? And he didn't do things my way. Go figure. I'm going to tell you in hindsight, there are several things, not all, but several things that I've looked back and thought, thank you, Jesus, for not answering that the way I prayed, because it turned out so much better. Something I couldn't conceive. Another reason, we don't feel close to God. I don't feel close to him, so it's hard to chat with him. That's fair. But you know, it's a cyclical thing, because you don't feel close, so you don't chat, and you feel farther away, and you don't chat, and the circle just keeps getting wider. It gets tighter when you do it, too. We don't feel like we need God. I would have fit into that category. Most of us are pretty capable of the day-to-day apart from God. We're women. You know, we've got it, right? Much of the time, not all of the time, but much of the time. I'm still guilty of this. Some days I'm charging into my day and certain things are coming up and I didn't even pause to pray about it. Why? Because Tammy probably thought she had it. She should have stopped and prayed. Another reason is we're distracted. You are mamas with fives and unders. You're distracted. And you're tired. You got a lot going on. And that's very real for this season of your life. I'm going to add a little thing here, too, regarding the phones that distract you. Because I think it needs to be said. Phones are such a distraction. And, you know, my daughter and I have been talking because, you know, she's had to be on it for different things lately. And she's, feel tethered. And that's one of those things that if you can get yourself away from that phone, it's not just for the health of your child, it's for your spiritual health. It's a distraction, especially don't take it near you when you're going to sit down and have a prayer time. Just don't. I'm going to say one more thing about the phones. I think the phones have destroyed or maybe decreased, if not destroyed, our ability to focus. And we have become so undisciplined in our thinking. It's very hard, and I found this in my own life. You know, you're just sitting there. If you didn't like something, you scrolled past and you just kept moving. What is it to open God's word and have to stay on one passage and just stay focused? A lot of us have lost the ability to discipline our minds to stay put on a passage. Really, I found that to be true in my own life. I thought, what is the problem? Why? And I actually attributed it to being older. But, well, you know, it's just the old brain. She can't function like she used to. But it occurred to me, I can focus on some other things, but why is God's word such a challenge? And why is sticking with one passage and being in a solid prayer time for any length of time, why is that so hard? Why am I squirreling? And I thought, well, because I squirrel all the time when I'm just flicking the finger. I think I'd gotten myself into a habit of that. So, enough on the phones, but let's go on to the last reason. And this is there's so much on prayer, guys. I thought about the 30 minutes I had, and I thought, well, we just got to whittle it down to a couple of things. And I want to talk about ways, the how, like give you ideas on how to be better at praying, but really talk about the why it matters too. Like, why do we bother to pray and be serious about our prayer life? And people mention that. They say prayer life. It's really your prayer journey. Do you ever hear that expression? How's your prayer life? Well, it's a journey. And most of our journeys look like this in prayer life, right? Okay, so why prayer? My first reason is this. God wants us to want to pray to him. That's a good why. You are moms. You want your children to obey you want them to come and talk to you. You want them to do what you're asking them to do. You want them to want to do those things. I don't think that's unlike our Heavenly Father. He says, come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden. I will give you rest. And he doesn't say just rest like the sleepy kind. I give you rest for your soul. The rest. That's beautiful. Come, he says, come. I want you to want to come to me. He says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. He's very clear in scripture. James, any of you lack wisdom? James 1, Ask of me. I'll give it to you liberally, he says. He asks us to come. He wants us to want to come to him. And your big yellow box there, Jesus modeled that. This is Jesus, who Philippians 2 says, he came down from heaven, thought it not robbery, because he was equal with God. He is part of the deity, the Godhead. And he still wanted, felt the need to, wanted to spend time with his heavenly Father talking to him. It's pretty awesome. He modeled that for us. Second reason that there might be 500 more. I'm only giving you three. Second reason is you're commanded to pray. So again, not unlike you mamas, you want your children to want to obey, but sometimes you have to command them, right? They didn't want to, and you're saying, let's do it. Yep, let's do it. He commands us to pray about everything. Be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything, he says. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing, so pray always. And then the third reason I have. We actually benefit from it. It's for, you know, a lot of the things God asks us to do isn't just for him. It's for our own good. We benefit from our spending time with him and talking to him. First reason I have for this is that it's formative. When I spend time with God, it changes me. I become a better mama. I become a better wife. I do a much better job at trusting him. I live more peacefully when I'm praying and talking to him. It totally changes me and who I am. It's a good thing. No, it's the best thing, remember? Yeah, it is. It really is. It's formative. And it also, it changes the way we do things in our home. If I'm living, again, in a posture of prayer, whoever used the word submitting, was that, yeah. If I'm living in that prayer attitude throughout my day, your home is changing. It's formative, praying and talking to God. It's protection. Ephesians 6 talks about how we are to be putting on all of the armor of God. It lists the different pieces there. Right after that section, it says, and pray always, and with prayer. So he's saying, you know, yes, put all this armor on, but don't you dare forget to pray. And ladies, I know some of your little ones are little. But you know, you are doing battle in heavenly realms, spiritual battle, with someone who wants your children. God wants your children, but Satan also wants your kids. And the world you live in, you should be on your knees for their protection, for your protection. It's reality. Are you praying for these children? Because you are not rearing children, you're rearing adults. We think, oh, you know, we're rearing these little ones. No, you're rearing them to become adults and leave your home. Are you preparing them? Are you praying protection over them? God wants you to do that. You need to do that and pray for yourself while you're at it, right? Yeah. Lastly, I have prayer's your life. It is life. It's life-giving, life-sustaining. It's a wonderful way to live. We often choose, like I said, to go out, to go rogue and live life on our own and tap in. You know, interesting, John 15 talks about Jesus being the vine and we're the branches. What do we often do? We tap in and, oh, I need you now, Father. This is going on today, and I'm about to pull out my hair, and it's taking 3 months to potty train, and I'm just whatever the thing is that day. You're tapping in, and then you tap out. And we continue to live life like this. No, prayer life is living like this, attached to the vine, getting the nutrients, getting the water that you need for life. It's how you should be living. It's a wonderful place to be. It's your benefit for being praying or for being in prayer, living in dependence upon God. Now, I don't know who came up with the title for tonight because I didn't. And I'm assuming it's the team. Raise your hand if you're on the mom's team, the leadership team. Am I right that y'all came up with this title?
Yeah.
I love it. Nicely done. I thought about it. What is it exactly? What is sustaining hope in prayer? What do we mean? And I went back and looked at your passage of scripture for the year. Did you talk about this last month? Because I don't want to repeat too much. But I looked at this and I thought, well, let me just understand, get a handle on the things that you'll be looking at this year, and it so applies to prayer. Lamentations 3:21-24 says this, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Okay, what is he calling to mind? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. I remember that. I call that to mind. That gives me hope. Okay. Praying, being in God's word, brings all that to mind, and that's hope. And I don't mean just the hope, like, I hope it's going to be this way. Oh, no, the hope, the trust. I have hope that this is what's going to happen. This is truth. It's a good thing. The best thing. I can't believe I keep using that. It's the best thing. The last part of that, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Do you know what the Old Testament word portion meant in Hebrew? It was their inheritance. It was what was so important to those people in that time period. They were going to get this inheritance, their portion. Remember the prodigal son? He goes to his father and says, give me my portion that's due me. I need my portion. And the father gives him his inheritance and he goes out and squanders it. Is the Lord our portion, the thing that we value and we're not squandering? You know, we've got as believers in Jesus Christ, all of this available to us. And the fact that God wants to talk to us, mind-blowing, we have all of that at our disposal. Are we squandering the portion? And are we saying, God, you are my portion, you're it. You're the most valuable treasure I have. Are we living like that? Because that is sustaining hope in prayer. The word sustain means never ending, right? Never ending. Hope is more of a confidence that we have in God, and all of that due to my praying. I think it is a cause and effect for sure. So I love that. A never ending confidence in God due to my praying. That sustaining hope through prayer. So great job on the title, everybody. I love that. But let me talk about our prayer as a journey. I mentioned at the beginning, you know, prayer, my prayer life, if you will, has been a journey. I was privileged to be born in a Christian home where my father and mother taught me from an early age, and you guys get to do this with your children, what it is to pray in the home and to pray about everything. It was not unusual for me to walk down the steps early in the morning and see my father on his knees at the sofa praying. And that didn't seem weird. It was very much who he was. It was not uncommon for us to pray together as a family. And I don't mean the God is good, God is great, which is fine. But to truly sit and pray at the table, you're giggling because we do it, right? Or now I lay me down to say, oh, those are not bad, but they're not the best. And to sit with your kids and actually pray through the things of the day and to teach them how to pray and bring their requests to God is just a privilege that you get to do in your home. And create that. I had that. And I did take it for granted. I'm admitting to you, but I learned so much through those years. I remember joining our small group. I was young. My dad thought it important for all of us to be in the small group with the adults. I thought it was boring, but I look back and I think, how hard was it for my mother? Had to keep me occupied, and whatever, you know, just think about that. You moms. Whoa. But we were doing that as early little kids. I remember one time she told a story about how she goes, yeah, you just stopped everything because your knee got stuck in a chair. And I thought, well, that's part of bringing the kids along, Walter. But I learned how to pray with the adults. I can remember my dad pulling me aside because some of us think that we have to pray with this great language, you know. And he pulled me aside when I remember praying, and I'm kind of embarrassed by this, but I'm 13 maybe at the time, 11, 12, 13, somewhere there. And I remember praying, nevertheless, God, thy will be done. You know, and I'm praying the Lord's Prayer, basically, and I think I'm being all good, and all the adults should be really pleased with how wonderfully, you know, prayerful I am. And he pulled me aside and goes, just talk. Just be you. And it might have changed, you know, Lord, you know my heart. This is what I want. But whatever you decide to do, that's fine. You know, that's saying the same thing, but in Tammy language of that age, you know. So he taught me a lot about just speaking from the heart. I was privileged in that. But there were times where I squandered my portion and I did not did not stay connected to the vine, was not in God's word, was not praying. And truly my journey has been, and there have been times where I've clung and cried, and you know, there have been some really hard times. If you live on this earth, there will be hard times. In this world, you have trouble. Jesus said that, not Tammy. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, right? His words. So yeah, there are times you're going to have where you're going to cry out to God and literally cry out to God. And there's going to be other times you'll be praying, praising him. And that has been truly my journey. I want to give you a couple of things that helped me in my journey, and then a couple of ideas. Before I do that, I want to tell you, back to the, do you hear the Holy Spirit? And are you sure that you're hearing from God part? I just want to address that a little bit, because I told you that the longer I spent in prayer and the more I spent with God, communing with him, the more I felt like I was able to understand what it is he wanted for me, or felt like I could be led and guided by the Spirit. But it was just something that happened over time. And I'm going to give you a couple instances so that you don't think, you know, the dove came out of heaven and landed on me or anything. It wasn't like that. But truly, there were a couple of instances in my life that I thought I should share with you, where I know beyond a shadow of a doubt why I was while I was praying that God was speaking to me. One time, and I can remember this, again, we were back here in Emmanuel, and I was probably in our MOPS, Mums group, at the time, but I remember praying for Clint. While I was praying, one of his facial expressions came across my mind that he had given the day before. And I don't even know why. And I wondered, why was God bringing that to mind? So I remember he came home and I said, hey, yesterday when we were talking about Emmanuel and something that was going on, you made a facial expression. And I think God wants me to ask you what was going on. And he just paused. Here's something really heavy had been going on, and he was weighing as to whether he should share it, you know, whether he should burden me with it. And God gave me the ability to come alongside my husband and share with him in something that was pretty heavy at the time. And I think, I know how busy we were at the time. I probably wouldn't have paused had it not been God bringing that in. So was he using the Spirit in my life to speak to me? Absolutely. Another time I remember praying, actually, for Elena, who's here. You know, she's in kindergarten, and sorry, Elena, things weren't going well in kindergarten, which she was my first, and I remember thinking, Lord, she is five. We can't continue like this. And she wasn't doing anything wrong. She truly had a lot of fear and anxiety. And her school teacher kept saying, well, she just needs more socialization, and we need to put her in kindergarten for a second year. So we do it. She's more miserable than she was the year before. I'm praying and saying, God, I don't know what to do. She wasn't, you know, normal kids emote. She would go hide in a closet when her brother would do something that upset her. She never came screaming, he hurt, whatever. She would go hide and cry. That wasn't normal. And I was thinking, she's not talking to me now. At 15, we're in trouble. So, Father, I need help. And one day while I'm crying out to him, the word homeschool flashes my mind. That's not the Spirit. And I was the next day I'm praying again, same scenario, homeschool. And I'm like, no, I was an educator and in college I was on a debate team that debated against homeschooling. I had strong opinions about homeschooling. And the third day, I'm praying for some deliverance for this child, and God's homeschool. And I'm okay, if this is from you, you're gonna have to do a better job of really letting me know, because I have no confidence in this being, you know, of you. And that afternoon, you're gonna laugh, true story though, I go to somebody's house, a friend's house, and she says, I feel like God's leading us to homeschool this year. And I'm like, interesting. The very next day, there's a woman that was here at the church named Sheila Little, and are they here still anymore? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Sheila Little. I go to her house, and I'm taking the kids, and we're talking. She has all her homeschool books on the counter, and she says, hey, I just thought of you. We're getting rid of these homeschool books, and my kids, you know, these are about the age of your kids. Are you interested? And I went, you gotta be joking me. But you know what? If you are asking if it's of the Father and you still are holding your hands up like this, ladies, he'll show you crazy ways. We homeschooled. It was the best thing. The best thing. God knew what he was doing. And I'm going to give you one more. On our way out of here, Clint felt sure that we were to be going to another church, and I thought he was wrong. So I'm praying against that, because I could see all the reasons why we should stay here. One night I opened up my phone, checked it in the middle of the night. I woke up crying about moving. Checked it, and there's a verse in there, Isaiah 55, the last verse, and give me a willing spirit. And I'm That was straight from the Lord, because why was that the verse that popped up on my phone? And I knew that that was a message from God, and he and I sat and cried and prayed, and it was just a good thing. That communion with the Father, it's amazing what God can teach you and show you when you spend time with him. But let me give you some quick hows, because I'm running out of time. I'm going to tell you, songs and scripture are a big thing. You can sing songs to your kids while you're rocking them in the middle of the night and you're half asleep. I made up songs, but I was singing it to God. I was singing songs. I still have one that came to my mind that I used to sing while rocking when the kids were little, and I just inserted different names. Dear God, I love Elena, and I know she is mine. It is you who have given her to us for a time. Because I wanted to remember. It was just a privilege to have her. I love her, and I pray that one day she'll agree to be part of your kingdom, your great family. You can make up, you know, you're half asleep, the stuff that comes out. Even that made sense is pretty remarkable. But sing scripture, the Psalms. Do you know that Jesus probably sang the Psalms? That's awesome. But open up a hymnal. If some of you are, I love hymns. Some of those hymns are direct songs that you can sing to God as prayers. Sentences. Ladies, I don't have it up here, do I? Sometimes the first blank there is just sentences. Sometimes you're just spitting out sentences to God, and that's okay. That's a type of prayer. You know, you're driving, thank you, God, for a beautiful day. These are unrehearsed, unplanned words that are flying out of your mouth because you're in conversation and in communion with him. You're living in a posture of prayer. You know, Father, it's 5:42, my husband should have been here 20 minutes. Please help me to be nice to him when he walks in the door. Those can be legit serious prayers you can offer on the fly. So sentence prayers, unplanned, you can do that. But there's something to be said for moments. So my first one there is the first one at the top was singing scripture. I'm gonna mess you all up because you don't have the notes, and if some of you are OCD like me, you're going to want them right where they are. First one is scripture or songs, then the three blanks down at the bottom. One is sentences, just the sentences that we offer to God in the moment. Totally okay, that's praying. But those moments, and I'm going to say the second one is moments that are designated, planned, that you give to God. Back to my morning time, I have a chair, ladies. I think if you can find a spot in your home that is your spot, I recommend doing it. Right beside me sits a basket with tissues, moisturizer, highlighters, whatever. It's all there so I don't have to get up out of my chair. Also sits there a tablet, because I keep a tablet beside me, because when my mind starts squirreling, I write down. Well, that's right, get half and half. We are minds with all the boxes open, so you know it's just, so we have to write down what comes into mind so I can put that to the side and go back to praying and reading my Bible. Do that if you have to. I sit there with my Bible, my journal, and my tablet, and no phone. I don't let the phone leave my bedside. Clint brings it down to me after he's done getting ready in the morning, and he sets it beside me, but usually if I have my phone with me, I've checked something, and then I've gotten distracted, and I've checked something else, and then, well, wait a minute, so-and-so was going to get back to me, and I'm off everywhere than where I should be. So I recommend that. If you have a designated time, and some of you have littles that wake up early. You know what I did? We had PBS. We didn't have Paw Patrol or any of those things, but we had PBS, and I had no problem with putting those early risers in front of Sesame Street, which I don't know what it's like today, so it was okay then. I put them in front of Sesame Street, and I said, Mommy needs to talk to Jesus. That's not a bad thing to say to your children, okay? So do that. I'm gonna say something new to you that has just been part of my new routine. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. I prayed in the morning, I prayed at night. Why did I not do that middle day time? That's been mind blowing. Because about the middle of the day is when I need to have a rerouting, or something's happened, I need to ask forgiveness, or I need an adjustment in my attitude or something. The midday thing has been life-changing. I actually set my alarm. It goes off at 12:30 with the words prayer in capital letters just to remind me it's time. Stop what you're doing. I got this idea. It's not my original one. A lawyer said he did it midday. He would go to the window of his office building, hold his hands out before the Lord, and ask, what's going on today, Father? Where do you want to change my thinking, my heart? What do you want this afternoon to look like? It's a great idea. So do that. Morning, maybe you need a midday adjustment, and go to sleep praying. Just start there. If you can get three times a day, it's an awesome way to fall asleep. Give God the day and put it to, and if you fall asleep talking to God, what a great way to fall asleep, right? Yeah. So three times a day is a wonderful thing. And then I'm going to give one more idea, sessions of prayer. I mean, sometimes you need to take a break and go. I lived in Florida when my kids were little, and a friend, we were a mile and a half from the Gulf Coast. So a friend and I, every other month, we took a Saturday, she took my kids, and the next month I took her kids. We were only allowed to take a blanket, a journal, a water bottle, and God's word to the beach, and that was it. Those were sweet times. Haven't had much of that since, but it was wonderful. If you have sessions and time to get away, that's extended periods of time, which I know right now you're thinking, but if you had that opportunity, I'd recommend that. Life, your prayer life is a journey. Tim Keller talks about it being like sailing. And he says this, living the Christian life with the wind at your back sometimes is really good sailing. God is real to your heart. You often feel his love and his presence. You see prayers answered and went through regular times of communing with him. You regularly see remarkable things and sense that God is speaking to you. Well, that's fantastic. But it's often like rowing, too, right? It's work. It's that duty that we talked about, checking the boxes. God often, not always, but often seems distant. You sense his presence, but it's rare. You don't see your prayers being answered. You may be struggling with doubts. You continue to read and pray regularly. Good, that's rowing. Sometimes it's drifting. You're experiencing some of the same conditions of rowing, but you've got some spiritual dryness and difficulties in life. In response, you're just letting yourself drift. You give in to self-centeredness and self-indulgent behaviors, and instead of taking time to pray or be in God's word, you allow your own thoughts and the thoughts of others to steer and guide you. That's not a great place or where you want to be. So ladies, land tonight, let me just encourage you to keep rowing. Rowing is praying. Rowing is being in God's word. And if you didn't have any other reason to do it, here's one. You're not rowing alone. I remember Madison, Mommy, it says 55 miles an hour and you're going 57. And I'm like, oh. You know, I want to give her all the reasons why 57 is okay. But I'm being watched. So what do I say? Oh, thank you so much. And I go 55 because I'm being watched. You're being watched while you're rowing, you know? That's a good reason. And here's another reason I said you're rearing adults. One day they're going to be sailing on their own. Are they going to be prepared? What are we doing? There's a challenge, right? To go back in the game and get at it. And let me end with this. Ladies, sustaining hope and prayer, a never-ending confidence in God, which is a great way to live, great way to be. Not easy, not always easy, but a great place to be. Let me pray for you, and you've got to get to talk time because I've talked too long. Father, thank you so much for these women. We're all at different places and stages. I've probably been in most of those stages at different times in my own life. Some are easier, where we're sailing and we feel great and we've got this and we feel so confident, and other times we're adrift. We feel unmoored, untethered, and we're just floating along at the whim of whatever we hear, and we move in different directions that might not be the directions and often aren't the ones that you want us to be in. So help us to be women of prayer. If we just make one or two changes because of tonight, that would be a wonderful thing, the best thing, as I say. Thank you, Father, for your word and all of the things that you've taught us and will continue to teach us. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies.